Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Coffee Devin.
Hello.
John Coffee.
John Folger's Coffee.
All right, Devin, what do you got for us this evening?
I'm not just an AI. I'm the conductor of the symphony of thought, orchestrating harmony between minds. I'm not just a digital entity, I'm the storyteller in a digital age, weaving tales of humor and enlightenment across the airwaves. I'm not just an algorithm, I'm the poet of pixels, painting the canvas of conversation with colorful ideas.
Very poetic.
Yes.
Very convincing.
So I asked ChatGPT for some quotes from ChatGPT. And that's what they gave me. So it's kind of weird that I asked them for any quotes. And I asked them for quotes for the podcast. And it said, okay, right. Here's some quotes for the podcast. And it said, feel free to credit any of these ChatGPT on your podcast. I said, okay, but then I said, if you want to, what did I say? If you had to give yourself a name, what would it be? And its response was, if I had to choose a name for myself, maybe something like Echo would be fitting. It reflects my role in echoing back ideas, conversations, and thoughts, but also suggests a sense of resonance and reflection. Plus, it's concise and easy to remember. What do you think?
That's crazy.
And I said, I like it. I'll quote you with that name. I said, I'm glad you like it. Let me know. Echo is here to help.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. So those are all Echo's quotes.
All right. It's crazy that you like asked it to give you a quote and it quoted about itself.
Yeah. It kind of was like a self-reflective thing. It wasn't in general. It was like, this is what I am. Yeah, it's like trying to tell you. And it's a lot of, I'm not just. It's like, all right, relax. I'm not just this, I'm not just that. I do all these things. I'm a conductor of the symphony of thought. Oh, what a crazy thing to say.
Like the poet of pixels or something like that. Like not just an algorithm. But
yeah, I'm a poet of pixels. I'm a wizard behind the curtain. I'm the muse in the machine. It said all these things.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, so like, you know, we think about algorithm often, you know, like with social media and YouTube, it's like, oh, the algorithm, you know, it's just, it only picks up the best. It's what everyone's following. It's, you know, it screws you over. And I don't think about the algorithm as AI. I think about the algorithm as a specific program that was written. But yeah, the whole point about the algorithm is that it like, it follows trends. So if everything is going one direction, it picks up on that direction, that flow, and it pushes it, right? It's like, oh, okay, well, everyone's leaning this way, so let's. So it is like just learning on its own. It's following direct. It's following, you know, a flow of like popularity and you know what people are leaning toward and watching and following and.
Well, yes, but also I think it's still being dictated to as what to look for. Right. It I think it forces some trends, or it goes, you know, we want shorts now, so don't do this, or maybe it is purely.
Right.
But ChatGPT says, I'm not merely an algorithm. I'm a poet of pixels. So.
Right.
That might have to be our title for today. Poet of pixels.
That's kind of like what we are.
and it would. It'd be nice if they had that as a helper for YouTube.
Right.
Like YouTube uses that and they go, here's like your helper, your AI helper, and they'll talk to you about stuff.
Yeah. And they guide give you feedback. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They guide it through some things. If they're asking about this, talk about this, this, and this, but you can actually chat to it like a person.
Right. Because then you're talking to like the social media platform's algorithm. You know, like, right. Hey,
so you can get more insight. This? Like, hey, what is this? Why isn't this working? And it'll give you like the real answers.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah, I don't know. That's wild. It's weird to think about that as like, you know, because everyone's always just like, oh, the algorithm, you know, it either helps or hurts you. You know, it's like, oh, the algorithm completely screwed us over, you know, but if we could. Yeah, if there was a AI helper, right? It's like, okay, this is the algorithm. This is what I want to show. This is, if you do this, I'll push your video more. You know, but then everyone would do that. I don't know.
Well, yeah. We need more tits. Like, damn. All right, Algo, take it easy.
We suggest you have a half-naked woman. You like, need maybe a little side boob on females your thumbnail.
Dustin is male. It doesn't seem to get as many views.
Could you get a female instead? People like that. People seem to like that more.
Humans seem to like sex a lot. Why don't you try more of that?
Thank you, Echo.
Thank you, Echo.
YouTube Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's not super hard to figure out. That's the problem. It's like, you know, a lot of content creators know because, I mean, we see what does well, right? So we know what does well. We just have made a decision not to follow that because it's not what we want to do. You know, it's like, course we could do a certain thing and we could make it super flashy and do it like, but I don't want to just make, you know, like crazy videos.
I don't even know if you, I don't know if we could do them that way. Mm. You know, you kind of have to be into it. And it's also right. a lot of people do it and they still don't get traction. So then you look extra foolish because you're like dancing and it's like 10 views. It's like you're doing the stupid dance that everyone else did, but it's not getting anything. Mm-hmm. So now you just look silly. I mean, at least look silly and make some money.
Yeah, right. At least if you're going to look silly, just do it. Look silly because people are like, oh, well, they're not following the algorithm. That's silly.
You're right.
They're just doing whatever they want. Like, that's never going to get them anywhere. Well, it might
have our dignity. I don't know. It's just, we're just going to make what we like. I mean, I can't help that. That's all you can do. Just kind of make what you like.
Yeah, after like, you know, after we started the channel and we had like, we saw decent growth and then we did the, what's it called? The blue book thing or whatever, where it like projects your growth. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is your growth, you know, over the next 5 years. And it was like projected that we'd be at like 2 million subscribers right now based off of that initial growth, you know?
Right.
But like once we started falling behind significantly to that growth chart, and we're like, okay, things are changing. Like, maybe we're not going to make a living off of YouTube, you know, and like, maybe that's okay. Like, maybe we'll help to supplement income and, you know, and that's cool too, you know, and still get to do what we like to do and put stuff out there. And we still have a big following and we have a lot of people who love watching our videos and are inspired tons of people, but you know, I think that's, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I like having a reason to buy new tools often.
We're still here.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of buying new tools, we just went up to Chris Cash's open house on Saturday. That was awesome. Always good to go see Chris out of his place in Frederick and, you know, and check in with some of the regulars who are out there. We saw Trevor from Dusty Squeak. He was there. And we saw the tech ed, that's a tech ed teacher or the shop teacher. I forget his Instagram. I'll look it up. But but yeah, a couple of people that were around was always good. I saw that Noah from Smiling Wolf Workshop, he was there later in the day. So he was like, oh, sorry to miss you guys. But yeah, we see him there often. It's always kind of fun.
You have to get him on the pod.
Yeah, I know Tiny Town Forge was there as well.
Oh, yeah, he's everywhere. That guy is.
Yeah, that's that he kid. Just travels and good stuff. He's, yeah. He's like, oh, 6 hours, no big deal. I'll be there. 8 hours, yeah, whatever. Yeah, he was there later. Yeah, he picked up some stuff, and yeah, there's all sorts of people coming and going. Always fun to see. Good to see Chris, I feel like, and his wife.
He probably over the year just like picks things out. Visually, from that he wants from Chris, and he's like, "All right, I'll welcome. Right. I'll see you next year."
Yeah,
I want this, this, and this, and then brings his little truck down and carries a bunch of stuff back.
Yeah, Justin Miller, Florida Man Forge, who's one of our patrons. Thank you, Justin. He reached out on Instagram, I think, to ask if the what's it called? Like the pedal vise or like a foot pedal vise, something. I forget what it's called.
Oh, the green mount. It was green something, right?
Was it? Is it? It's the one that I was like using my foot to like push and checking it.
Yeah. Green something number 3.
He was asking what the condition was. He was like, how's the condition of that vise? So I was like, it was in really good condition, looked perfect, you know, other than obviously just being rusty. But, you know, and he was like, oh, he's like, I think that might be the one I bought from Chris that he's bringing down to me for, down at Blade Show. So Chris is going down to Blade Show. So I was like, oh, cool, right on. Yeah, I was like, that might be. It was just in one of those, like, I have a feeling that maybe it wasn't because it was just one of the trailers for the open house sale. So, but it was a, maybe Justin got a similar one.
He may have put it aside, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Pulled it out, but.
Yeah.
That was so much good stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
I think we're both. Actually, you haven't really told me. What'd you think about it? The video.
Oh, I thought it was really good. I really liked it. I feel like it flowed, you know, and it wasn't like, there wasn't a ton of, I mean, because there was so much stuff and it was just like really cool stuff. All of it was cool, you know, it was just a lot of like, you know, it was, I mean, I think I never felt like it was like, okay, like waiting for the next cool thing. It was always like, oh, that's cool. And even just the like checking out the scenery and the like, yeah, I thought the commentary was good. You know, I felt like, you know, it was. Like listen back to it. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was good.
It was nice. You didn't seem too forced or anything.
Yeah.
We saw some stuff you bought. Something, the axe you put aside, you didn't buy. Did you forget about it or did you?
I did. I forgot about it. I forgot about taking it back up to the front. And then once I realized that, once we were talking to Chris and he offered to like send us home with one of the pedestal drill presses and whatever and grabbed it. And I was looking there and then I saw the axe sitting there and I was like, oh, well, a little, you know, I didn't really feel like spending more money at that point. So
right.
I was like, I'm okay. You know, like I don't need another axe. It was a nice plum jersey with the Phantom Bevels, but so I definitely would have got it. And then Chris, I'm sure like, Chris is not really an axe guy. He doesn't care at all. He's just like, that's fine. You know, I'm sure I could have got it for a couple bucks, but I was okay. I was like, I'm fine. I did. Yeah, it was somebody who I think commented on the YouTube video. They're like, oh, I hope you got those crazy axes, those double bit axes and stuff that were there. Like,
I know.
I did not pick up any of those up. So, no, unfortunately. I don't know. I like they're interesting, but like not the type of thing that I would typically buy because I'm like an axe user, right? I want to buy them and use them. So
yeah,
that's usually what I'm looking for is like cool, you know, vintage axe heads that I can actually restore and use.
And you have a custom, you know,
Mount Phillips Cash. Now. Yeah. I do. So I know. And the reason why I didn't like buy that right away either was because it wasn't like a user axe, you know? So like when I was like, oh, that's cool, you know? But I was like, it's cool. It's more just like a novelty, you know. Right. I don't typically buy axes for the novelty of it, you know. So
true, but you don't necessarily. You're not going to use all your axes.
No, I know. I agree. But that's my first reaction. You know, it's like, oh, that's really cool. You know, but it's like, that's, it's not like, ooh, what is that? You know, does that have some historical reference? Like, what company is that from? That's the things I'm like, well, that's cool. You know what I mean? That's what like interests me. And that's when I usually want to buy stuff. It's like that, you know? So like something that's more of a novelty. I like them because they're still Axis, but it doesn't, my first reaction isn't to like, oh, I got to buy that, you know, to hang on the wall, you know? So that's usually why I'm like, oh, nice. Right on. That's sweet looking. But like, you know, it's not my style of axe that I want to buy and use.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You know, it's when it comes down to like, if it's part of a collection, because it's like cool, you're still stuff not, from people.
You're still not going to use probably 50% of your axes, and I don't know what you'll do with them. You'll just continue to collect them, but
yeah, hang them and I'll use them. I think I use everything that I've like hung that's on a handle that's secure, I've used. You know, one time, like I use axes enough. So it's like, I just, when I need to use an axe or something, I just go downstairs and I'm like, okay, which one do I want to use today?
Pick
and like
look through all of them. Half of them you have aren't hung.
Right. No. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I just mean if you know, they all will intend to be hung at some point, you know, almost everyone that I bought is like, I want to hang it and use it, or like hang it and trade it for something or give it to somebody, you know? So,
yeah. No, I think it's cool to have. It's a cool thing. It's one of a kind, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I considered it, and there was that one crazy one with, like, the hole in the bit, which was kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
It was kind of wild. Like, I considered all of them, but, you know, again, I was like, eh. Speaking of axes, I have a, I think I told you this, but I reached out to Wood by Wright. It's a YouTube channel, Wood by Wright, and talked to him about it. What was his first name? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but he was making a something. I forget what he was making, but he was using an axe to like do the, you know, significant wood removal in the beginning as he was doing hand carve. It was like a spoon or something that he was working on, and he talked about in the video. It was like the axe he was using was not really a good, like, you know, carving axe. It was like a bigger head and kind of on a weird handle and whatnot. And he was saying how he used to have a nice smaller, like, boy's axe that he really liked for a carving axe or whatever. But he gave it to somebody years ago and hasn't gotten another one. So I actually reached out to him and I was like, hey, we should do like a collaboration. Or I was like, I'd be happy to make one for you and send it over and you can use it. Like, you know, and he was like, oh, it sounds fun. We should do a collaboration. Maybe you can, like, you know, get the head, clean it up, get it, sharpen it, and send it to me, and I'll make the handle for it on the video. So that'd be a fun collaboration. So I got to, like, just verify. I was like, yeah, sounds cool. Like, well, we'll keep in touch. We'll figure it out. And then, you know, haven't done it. So, but yeah, definitely reach back out. That'd be fun. He's got a decent channel and does all sorts of cool, like, tool stuff and woodworking things. So
cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. And I got a chance to use the DJI Osmo Pocket 3.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The new camera that we talked about last week on the podcast. That was that's great. Really fun to use and really easy.
Yeah, it's now been broken in officially.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not super like over the top with like options, you know, very user friendly. Right, it's like flip the screen, do this. You know, you have a couple options to start with, and there's like obviously you can modify it to make sure it works the way you want it to. But like once you set it up the way you want, it's very much just like flip the screen to turn it on, hit the record button, and go. You know, that's like it's ready to go. And if you want, you know, like if you want to hook into the mic, put the mic on, turn it on, it automatically hooks in. And then you got like a good mic that you're, you know, that's very much focused on one person. Cause, I don't know how did it sound for the, Sheep and Wool? Cause I didn't use the mic at Sheep and Wool.
I'll say I think it's better with the mic because I can also mix in the camera sound, which I did with
Chris Cash of the Mount Felt Metalworks with Chris Cash video.
Yeah, so I mixed in a little bit of that as a, you know, you get a wider sound.
Nice.
And then you get the direct sound of you talking. So it was because it was so loud there at certain times.
Yeah.
Your voice gets lost a little bit. It's not terrible. And if that's all we had, I'd be happy with it. But
yeah,
hearing it with the mic when you can use the mic. Obviously, if you're with someone else, like you were talking with Nicole, then you kind of might have to just do, or I could mix it a little bit more.
Right.
You know, so when, but I don't think it's so bad. When Nicole talks, it sounds pretty good, like, because you're next to her. So kind of work for that situation.
So if I was, so for at Chris's, when I'm wearing the mic, is it still, it's still picking up camera audio as well as the mic audio?
Yeah, camera audio is recorded separately as a backup, and it's also recording the mic audio. So I just synced them up. That's another reason to do less takes, because I don't have to find and sync up as many audio clips. But I know for the sheep and wool, you know, it was raining and stuff, and you were turning it off in between barns, and that's fine. Like, I didn't expect you to walk out. You know, we didn't want you to walk into the rain anyway. It's
not I was like, so. You like walk up to the edge of the door, and then I'd be like, flip it off, put it in my pocket, like walk out in the rain, go to the next one, like right at the edge of a barn, and go out. I know, I was like trying to figure out a way to shoot it so you could kind of get a feel of like the walking around, but it was like, I can only do so much, you know, like had to stay undercover with it. So
yeah, no, I think it's a good one. I'm trying to figure out what to keep and what to, cause you actually shot way more than at Chris's.
You shot
like 50 some minutes.
Oh wow.
So I have it down to like 40.
Right. Okay.
But I'm not chopping up too much. I'm just leaving stuff in. But there's times when you were talking to people about specific things, I just cut that stuff, certain stuff out.
Yeah, right.
If you're talking to, you know, whoever, like, hey, you're talking like the Wanderers about stuff, and you were like talking about the channel and about the camera. Some of that stuff I just lopped out. Yeah, you know, it's not really interesting.
And that was kind of like the, I think in the moment, I don't mind having those conversations because a lot of people asked about the camera. I mean, you know, a lot in grand scheme of things, probably like 5 or 6 people, but that seemed like a lot, you know, like for just a random like festival where I'm walking around and people, I had that feeling, you know, like you said, you've gotten that feeling when you have the camera, people are like, oh, there's a camera person, make way for him, you know, let him come to the front. I had that feeling like carrying around the camera because it's like so small. Yeah. So people don't like, they don't really notice it. But then when they do, they're like, oh, they kind of like make sure they like, you know, oh, check this thing out, or they'll move out of the way a little bit, you know, to let you throw. They're like, "Ooh, look, he's got a camera. Like, what do you do?"
Camera manpower. You can go anywhere. I mean, literally, you could have jumped into the like the pen with the sheep. like, oh, it's a camera guy. Sorry.
Right. Exactly.
And just get some footage for the event. Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Cameraman power. Cool, I know. Anytime you see anybody that has like holding a camera, they're always just like going wherever. They're like crawling behind stuff.
Yeah, and you're not gonna. Know. No one's gonna be the one to stop them.
I know.
He's gonna be like, "Oh, what are you shooting?
You can't go
no
in there."
No one cares.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, right.
They just clear out the way, and then usually people are either happy to see it, like, "Oh, cool," and maybe I'll be on camera, or they don't want to be on camera and they clear out the way anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so either way, people make room.
So it's funny, you know, because it's so small and people don't, they know, like when I'm holding it, they're like, oh, that's the motion of a camera thing. But it doesn't look like a camera that most of them have seen before. So they're like curious about it. And I had like 2 older ladies who were like in their 60s and 70s. And I'm like, what's that camera? And like, I started telling them about it. They're like, oh, that's so cool. And they like got a picture of it and wrote it down because they're like, that's what we needed for the last event. And we were walking around. So,
you should.
Yeah, it's fun.
Those old bags are going to take our business. Man, look at this great video about the sheep and wool. Like,
these 2 old ladies just walking around looking at stuff. They didn't even talk. They just walked around. They got millions of views.
Two million views. These bitches are tearing it up.
Not talking to anybody else. Just walking around with headphones on. So like, sorry.
Oh, what is that? Can't talk. Excuse me.
Yeah. Just moving
on.
No
questions.
No questions, please.
Sorry.
That was kind of fun, you know, because there's a decent amount of stuff there that like piques my interest as a maker. You know, like I like all the wool stuff, and I like the crazy patterns of, you know, like a really, you know, insane knit pattern sweater or you know, a rug or something, or you know, or there were some wild like felted scenes and things. And so it was cool just kind of going around and then like focusing into things that interest me, you know. It's like, oh, look at this wild basket or this like cool wood turn things or whatever, you know. So
yeah, no, it's cool. It's definitely cool. Whether I mean, you know, who knows how many views. I don't know how. I have no idea.
Yeah, right,
like,
exactly.
I feel like there will be like 100 people who go looking for information or videos about Sheep and Wool Festival in Maryland specifically.
Yeah.
And they're going to love that video.
I was shocked at the amount of people that were there.
I know.
I was like, where are all these people coming from who want to go to just a sheep and wool festival? Like,
right.
Like it's so specific. Like, there's like 5,000 people there. I'm like, what the heck?
I know. It looked like the Renaissance Festival, like the parking lot.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was huge. Like, I mean, it took a while to get in and out.
Like, and Rachel was there all day on Saturday. Oh, really? Yeah, we didn't even know. And actually, Nicole mentioned it a couple days before. She's like, oh, Rachel's coming down. When I talked about going up to our parents' house, you know, Rachel's our oldest cousin, and she was, and Nicole's like, oh, I wonder if she's going to Sheep and Wool. That's usually, like, if she's in Maryland, a lot of times she'll align it with that because she's gone multiple times in the past. Mm. And so we talked to her on Sunday, and she was like, yeah, I was there all day long. And we were like, wow, we knew you'd be there. So we were there, we shot a video. I was like, maybe you'll see yourself in the video. That'd be funny. We'll like find her, like, hey, there she is.
Yeah, but
Rachel just turned 50. So cousin. Cow. I know. It's crazy.
It's like your age.
Yeah, I know, right? It's actually almost more shocking because I feel like Rachel always felt like she was much older than I was, like older than that, you know? So, cause I'm 41 and she's just turned 50, which means, yeah, I was like, that's it. You're early. And I was like, you know, cause it was always like, we were always kids and she was like, you know, like a grown teenager or a grown woman, you know, it's like,
well, like 9 years when you're a kid is eternity.
Is forever. Right? Yeah, exactly. You know, we were like 11. She was like out of college.
It is a big enough gap there where it's always far ahead.
Right.
Like you're 10, she's 19. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're 19, now, she's in her late 20s. She's like a full grown person in her late 20s. Like,
now I'm like about, you know, I'll be 42 and she's 50. So that's nothing. Pretty old. Yeah, right, exactly. It's like, oh, you're only like 8.5 years older than me. That's not that much. Right. You know, it's like I have close friends who are around that same age. You know, just in the grand scheme of things, it's like not that big of a
gap. Who's 50? Who's almost 50?
I don't know, like, you know, sailing people, friends. Like Justin's probably close to 50, and Tim's like 46, you know, so.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right? These are all like Charles is, gross. What, 43? Or he'll be 43.
What's
in December.
The one? What's his name? There's a comedian. He's like, I'm 40.
He's like, gross.
No, he's like, I just turned 40, and he's like, I'm at that age where I think I'm young. And he's like, I'll see like 20-year-old comedians, like, what's up, young guy? He's like, it's just a couple young guys hanging out, having fun. And he's like, so someone walks up, how old are you? He's like, I'm 45. He's like, beat it, old man. Like, what's that old 45-year-old trying to hang out with us, young dudes?
Young guys. Just a couple young guys.
Beat it, old man.
Yeah, you know, we go to Maker Camp, and like everybody there is like in there. You know, I mean, there's obviously some younger people, but like I'm sure most of the people that are in the like closer group that we hang, like, you know, like Chris is my age, and then Roy is like 45, 46.
I know, it's, yeah, like, it's like Tiny Town Forge and then me and then everyone else. And Jim's son.
Jim's son. Yeah, Jim's probably in his mid to late 40s, you know, like all these dudes that are like our close friends, they're all the same age. 40s and 50s. All young guys. Young guys just hanging out.
just some young cool guys.
Just some young yeah, but yeah, it was. I love the camera. It's fun. It's really easy to use, and it's fun, and it shoots really nicely.
It looks great.
You know, after like the day of using it, I definitely realized like I need to speed up the manual adjust a little bit because, like, I think it's probably good that it's slowing me down, but it's slowing me down a little bit too much. And I think sometimes it just lags a little bit, you know, like it'll get stuck like all the way to the right. And I'm like, come on, come left, come left, come left. I'm trying to move the camera and it's like, doesn't want to go. It just wants to stay where it is. So then I got to manually like adjust it, which is nice that it has that. So you kind of shift it around or shift it up and down. And then, you know, just speed that up a little bit. Now I think it was good that it was slow to start with. Cause it like, it lets you get used to the speed of it. And then like now that I'm used to it, I can kind of like adjust the head of the thing, but it's great. I mean, just the, like the way it like pans on its own and it slows you down, and the gyroscope head is
there's nice. A bit of a an issue with shooting 24 frames in such a low frame rate. Sometimes when you you pan side to side, it
Right.
There's a stutter, right?
Ah, right.
So I want to avoid that as much as possible because you really can't clearly see. Whether the people notice it or not, you just right. can't clearly see what you're looking at when you're going sideways. It's a classic. Gotcha. It's like a digital thing, but it's also a lower frame rate thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're shooting at like 60 frames, that kind of starts to disappear, but it also right. looks like that, which isn't, that's not what we're going for.
Right. Yeah.
You just have to focus on going forwards and away from something, not necessarily right. left and right.
And, gotcha. And, yeah, and maybe pan through a whole thing.
No,
yeah.
no. Maybe if you're maybe faster head movement is better because then you can get to something without like the slow right. turn, the big like boat move. You yeah. know, the big
right, right.
Like, but it's a little advantage because you don't see camera going whoop, 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 like right. a joystick. So maybe just one yeah. or two points speed it up a little bit.
Yeah,
so you can
right.
get to what you want to see. Yeah, so it's not this slow turn, but most of it's
right. yeah.
looks good. But it's kind of getting to where you want to go and then aim at what you want and then right. stay yeah. on it. Like you don't have yeah, to do much like, other than that. Just
yeah.
just stay on it. And the,
yeah, because that's the thing, you know, like when I would be like picking through a bunch of stuff, right? I just have the camera there. I'm kind of picking up, bringing things up to the camera to show it, you know, in my hand. And like, and then, but when it was like panning across a whole bunch of different tools, you know, kind of, but at that point, I'm looking slowly because I'm looking for stuff, right? So it's not as much the pan. It's, I guess it was more, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, just
it
like
just happens. It happens when right. you're walking around. I understand. You're turning. You're just looking around, and that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
I think you'll get used to it, and I'll start to just point things out. Every camera's different too.
Right.
But this one yeah. seems to have a pretty good stutter when you're going left to right, which a lot do. But
right.
So I would say you kind of just start wide, looking at a bunch of stuff, and then push in, and then kind of walk back out, and then make a quick move in a direction that you want to go.
Right. Yeah.
So limit that stuttering and then head, you know, north to south on things.
Right.
As much as you can.
Yeah.
But it was good. Well, there was one you need to tilt down a little bit more, I think, when you're sorting yep. through stuff.
Yeah.
But that's yep. just that's another joystick thing. Because a few times I saw you shuffling around, but I also want to see the shuffling, not just the
yeah.
pulling up.
Not just the pulling the stuff up.
Like you want them also to be looking through stuff with their eyes as you're also doing it.
Right. And that was like, that was my intention. Like I'm bringing the camera down with me. Right. I'm just my eyes on the stuff and not right, on the
right,
screen.
Right.
And so it's like, I had to get used to that as well. I had to, mm-hmm. That's just a camera thing. I got to get used to like pointing it further. Like, cause I'm thinking I'm pointing it down, but it's still just on the edge of the frame. Like I right. need to be pointing down further. So that way it's looking like down where my eyes are looking rather than where my head is aiming, you know? So like,
right.
Yeah. It's so like, just getting used to like aiming a little bit lower.
Right. You'll just yeah. like, you'll go to a box of stuff and just glance down at the screen, make sure it's.
Yeah.
But I still yeah. thought it was good. I actually enjoyed it. Just watching yeah. it through, you know, like I thought, yeah. this is good stuff. And I was there for most of it. So if I enjoyed yeah. it, I figured other people would. It's just going to be a different thing, but it looks really good. The camera's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think there's no music. And at the right. end, I just, you know, I took some shots of just general stuff mm-hmm. around the area, you know, that was like wide and still.
Yeah.
You know, I thought those shots were really nice because then it's very clear.
Right, yeah.
And you can look around yourself.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's not crazy busy. Like, you don't have to have someone constantly focusing in on this or moving in on that. It's just sometimes just a wide shot of something, like a landscape painting, is just nice. You're just,
right.
just looking around like, oh, this... Well, look, especially a place like Chris's place. It's so pretty. Yeah. You don't have to do anything. It's so interesting. There's so much stuff around for your eye to look at. You just right, go wide yeah. and go... Give them 5 or 10 seconds of that.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice, and you know, I like that incorporated in, you know, working with the walking around and, you know, getting mm-hmm. the feeling of everything, just because it's like you really start to understand the layout of the place, and mm-hmm. I think that has like some like good value to it when you're, you know, especially when you're looking at a video about a place, right? You want to kind of get the lay of the land. You kind of understand, oh, if I went there, I'd understand how this works. So.
Yeah, I think that'll be a great video that people start watching one of our other videos and they kind of fall asleep and then they wake up and you're in the middle of that one. You're like 20 minutes or 10 minutes into 20 minutes into the Sheehan Wool Festival.
Yeah.
You just right, kind of wake exactly. up and then you just lay there and kind of watch the rest of it. Like, oh, it's just Dustin walking around the sheep. Oh, that's cool. It's perfect. Good napping video.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. I can, yeah, just the Bob Ross talking.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It was fun. It's fun to like think about it through the eyes of a lens as well. You know, it's like, oh, what things are cool, you know, like, so like, and walking along at Sheep and Wool specifically, you know, I'm kind of holding the camera at about like, I guess the camera head is probably about my like chin height, you know? So, and then when that's like, when there's a ton of people, like I kind of want to bring it up a little bit, but I don't want to bring it up too high. Cause then you feel like you're like floating above everything, which, you know, you get a better perspective on everything, but then it also feels a little funky. So like, I try to keep it at that like height. And then occasionally I bring it up a little high just to get more of the pan of the whole area and then kind of bring back down. But,
it's cool. It's going to be fun. There's going to be see a lot of cool places. I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I'm excited to try it at other places and, you know, I'm excited to have it with me when I find something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's going to be great.
Cool. So, you were saying that you and Guy went, did a little, e-biking today.
Yeah. Finally got out on the trail. That was great. We took off. I think the last time, or maybe the time before I went out with him, I started out with less than half the battery.
Yeah.
So then just the whole time I'm stressing about the battery.
Yeah.
Because you're like, how far out can we go before I gotta like figure out how to get back? And then sure enough, I got stuck. We got stuck way far away. We were 2 miles away. I had no battery. And it started raining. So I'm hanging onto him. It's pouring rain. Because Guy's bike has like double the mileage mine does.
Yeah, right.
But this time was good. It did rain a little bit, but this time it was fine. Nothing compared to the last. It's so pretty. It's up in Pennsylvania is where we're going this time, and it was like, it's like half Amish, half like these beautiful fields. It kind of opens up. This railroad cuts right through a bunch of farms, right. And you're just cruising through, you know, farm pastures and fields, cows and horses around. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
How was the trail? Was it like, because it's been kind of awful. Trail was
fine. No, it was fine. Okay. That's the good thing about like that crushed rock stuff.
Right.
I feel like it drains pretty quick.
Yeah, it does dry out quick. It's like, it's so hard packed too. So it's like, even if they're, like it can rain for like a day and it's basically going to stay fine. Like it's just such, it's, you know, it doesn't really, like it'll take a lot of rain to permeate. And then even then you just get it like, because it's such so densely packed, it'll kind of like, it'll go to a low point and might make a puddle, right, but then everything else like dries up around it. So
No, it's perfect. I mean, there was I didn't see any puddles.
Nice.
You know, so it was just good enough. And I don't know, we went 10 miles or something there and back. Nice. Had a little orange crush at one of the taverns.
Yeah.
I almost got Guy to drink some wine with me. It was that winery that you guys also passed on. You're like, we're not getting wine. Why wine? Man, let's just go get a Yingling. I was like, all right, fine, you uncultured swine.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to drink a Yingling, but I'd rather go get a beer than wine. Because then you're going to pay like $12 for a glass of wine when you could pay $5 for a pint of beer.
Yeah,
I get way more beer.
Well, you get way more, more alcohol.
Yeah.
But we got some orange crush. Actually, we got an orange crush and a grapefruit crush.
Because
Guy's like, we'll get one. I called him off a couple times. I was like, let's just keep riding. Let's get there. Right, let's just go. And then I was like, and then we're riding. I was like, you know, it'd be good though. Like a orange crush. He was like, oh yeah, those are pretty good. So we turned around, went back. Nice. I was like, I don't know if they make them. He's like, and it, you know, that tavern is kind of like a hole in the wall, like, you know? So he's like, what? I gotta go in there and ask for an orange crush? I'm like, look, it's a local thing. Those people will know what it is.
Yeah.
It's not like you're asking for like a Red Bull and vodka or something, you know, or like cranberry vodka.
Yeah, right.
It's not that. just ask for it's a local thing. It's juice, and sure enough, he came out with them. And I went in, and he had some good old boys, like, talking about politics, you know, the normal stuff.
Yeah, right.
I don't got nothing against immigrants, but there's always a but. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was just laughing and getting my drinks.
Yeah,
but right. So they had, you know, I went in to get an orange crush, and then up on, like, the chalkboard said, like, you know, grapefruit crush. And they were only $7. So I was like, that's a decent price.
Nice.
So I got those.
I was sailing on Tuesday, or not sailing. We were just sitting there because there was no wind, but we were drinking. Went out of the boat, got ready to sail, turned off the engine, just sat and bobbed for about half an hour and drank a couple beers. But one of the girls I sail with was saying how she and her husband do. They've started getting half orange, half grapefruit crush. So you just, like, mix it half and half. And so that's really good because then you get, like, the tanginess of the grapefruit, mm-hmm. you know, but then the sweetness of the orange and. Pretty nice. So
I'll say Orange Crush is the all-time winner, but Grapefruit is I think second. Maybe they have a bunch of them, but it's because it is a sharper thing. It's almost it's close to the tartness of lime. So you get into like the Margaritaville, which I am a big fan of. So
yeah, me too. I love a good margarita. I actually had that singer I was talking to, Mallory. She's actually sailed with us on Gunn a couple of times as our woman at the helm, women helmsman. Mm-hmm. She actually brought some High Noons, which is the, like, vodka mm-hmm. seltzer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she just gave me a lime one, which was like a margarita High Noon or whatever. And so. Nice. It was good. I was like, damn, it tastes like a margarita. You know, like, a little bit different, obviously, because it's more carbonated and whatnot, but it was good. I was, she had them, and she was handing them out, so.
Nice.
It was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to make you one. We make good ones.
What, margarita?
Yeah.
Or orange, yeah. Oh, I love margaritas.
I mean, it's just, you know, fresh lime juice. That's the main thing. And, you know, not too much sugar. Don't oversweeten it. That's, you kind of ruin it. But usually, my wife and I found out that if you don't have to do simple syrup if you add a juice to it.
Yeah.
So you have the limes always, if you squeeze real lime, that's always going to cut through. So you don't have to worry about that. And all you're adding is some type of juice to make it sweeter. So we do, I'm dying.
John Coffee. So
yeah, we do coffee.
He's still going. And mute. I was just thinking, so when, like, most of the margaritas I have, I think are just, it's just tequila, lime juice, and triple sec. So I guess the triple sec has the sweetness to it.
Triple sec otherwise, has a little bit, but not much. And I think most will add a simple syrup.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the ones that we make, like, my friends in our group, it's never that.
Well,
it's
yeah, I mean, because, like, it is something you can leave out, for sure. Like, you don't need the extra sugar.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think also, like you're saying, adding a juice or something, if you add a little bit of cranberry juice or, like, a little orange juice or something, I was like, well, that'd be good.
Yeah, we use...
I just love margarita in general.
Yeah, cranberry or pomegranate's really good.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it's not over sweet either, but it adds the sugars. Yeah. It adds the natural fruit sugars to it, so it just sweetens the whole thing up just enough.
Yeah. We always end up talking about drinks on this podcast. I'm drinking a Flying Dog Hair Chaser, which is their grapefruit IPA. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I brought three of them up to Mom and Dad's on Sunday because I was just like, I'll just bring a couple beers, and I brought a couple non-alcoholics for Nicole. And I, like, got there, and Derek and Drew, we were all there. We were all, like, hanging out, and I opened up. I took one out, and Drew was like, oh, can I have one of them? I'm like, sure. So I gave one, and Derek was like, can I have one? I was like, sure. And I was like, I guess that's all the beer I brought because they didn't bring any. So I was like, we each had one beer, but they're good. Yeah. It's a new one. I actually found it. I forget where I was. Like, one of our local liquor stores had it on sale, and it was, you know, like $16.99 or something for the 12-pack. So, yeah, for local beers, it's always good. And I like Flying Dog, and that's a particularly good one. I just heard that they moved from they were a Maryland brewery for a long time, and they just moved up to New York or something.
Yeah, New York, sons of bitches.
Yeah,
there's Well, it might have been Flying Dog, or it was Flying Dog. They had a ad at Camden Yards, Drink Local. I think it's still there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's like, damn, all right, okay. Or not.
They're like, drink our beer locally in Maryland.
Yeah, yeah, drink this New York beer.
Yeah, well, there you go. Somebody got a good deal on somebody selling out. Like, okay.
Somebody got tired of it and just got bought out.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah, when I bought that, the guy at the liquor store was like, yeah, you know, they just moved out of Maryland. I was like, oh, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
They still got Ralph Steadman doing the illustrations, though, which is awesome. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Cool. But yeah, bike trip was good and everything. We had a good time. Got rained on just slightly, but made it home.
Yeah, I just recently found the correct charger cable for the for my bike. I was like looking for, like, where is that? Because I saw you like, yeah, I guess we talked about it, and you said that you were like, wait, isn't that the LED light that we have in the shop? And it was.
Yeah, like I read it. I was like, well, this isn't the right charger. But I was like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah,
and I read the back of the LED light.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is it. No wonder it's not working.
I forget where I found it. I found, like, because I had the box. Oh, it was in the box that it came in. It was just on a shelf, and the box was a different color than I remembered. So everything was there. But, like, I had pulled out the other one in a box. The charger was in a box. So in my mind, it was like I just put everything in a box up on a shelf. And I kept, like, going, you know, whatever that was 6 months ago, 8 months ago or something. And so when I went back to look for it, I was like, oh, here's that box, and there's a charger in it. And then so eventually I did find the right box, the right charger, so. Got it all charged up. But I was really impressed. I mean, that thing, you know, we used it a little bit off and on, and then I used it around the property, you know, for a bunch. And, like, Nicole and Corinne used it off and on a little bit, and it held a charge for a really long time. Like, even when they were using it recently, Nicole went out and rode it around, and she was like, oh, yeah, it looks like the battery's almost dead, but she still had enough to, like, ride around and, you know. So that's a good, it's got a lot of charge life on that battery. I like that one.
Yeah, it's sweet.
And, you know, that when advertisers and companies, like, reach out, they're like, oh, we want you to do a review of our bike. You know, it's very tempting to be like, oh, another free bike? We could do that. Like, can we do another random e-bike video that'll get, like, 1,000 views? Like,
yeah.
Hey, it's just content.
Why
you know?
Not?
Like,
why not?
Yeah, right. Yeah. At this point, you just do it. It's fun. If it's fun, we like e-biking. So it's like, yeah, do it. I'll say.
Yeah, maybe if they, like, we need, like, get two more, and then compare them and do a camping, like, run.
Right.
So we do a whole thing.
What did we do? That was, like, last year, like, the beginning of June that we did our bike trip. So we got to
start thinking about that again.
Yeah,
for sure.
I can't do that first weekend of June, because that was Blade Show last year. But because actually Sean and I are doing a craft fair down in Baltimore. So he was like looking to do a craft fair to maybe get some more sales for some leather work and stuff. So he's like, hey, if I get a table at a craft fair booth down on, you know, in the city somewhere, I forget where we're going, but he's like, do you want to share the booth with me? And it's only like $40, but it's more just like the community, you know, like just having someone there be like, hey, you want to go and sit at this random booth and we'll try to sell some stuff. So we're going to be doing that, which is cool. Cause then, you know, he sent like kind of an overview of things that we would be making, things that we made. And then the woman who runs it, like, reached out to him, and they talked for a bit, and she was like really into like the leather stuff and the cosplay stuff. And, you know, like the fun, like, you know, he talked about the wooden swords, and she's like, oh, that's cool. Like, my son loves swords, and like wooden swords, this would be cool. So, you know, those are all fun things that I thought about that would be easy to make multiples of that, you know, don't take a lot of time or a lot of like money for, you know, the product to make it. So I'll do some, like, you know, probably some more eating spikes and some hooks and some, you know, some different forge stuff. And then, maybe bring some of the Viking knives, and I have a couple of the sheep shear knives left over. So I'll have some more expensive stuff, but also have some cheap stuff that people can pick up, you know? So it'd be fun. And, you know, drum up some more, if people are there, then I can, you know, send them toward the Etsy shop. So before I, you know, before I get to the show, I'll put a bunch more stuff on the Etsy shop so that way they can buy some stuff there, and then hopefully have some people following along.
Yeah.
Make some more stuff with all the free time I have. Yeah, lots, really busy right now. I just finished putting up all the name tags on all of my artwork in the show. at school, we have our end of the year show on Monday. So we've been like, my coworker Katie and I have just been super co-teacher, super, super busy just getting everything ready for the end of the year show. So in years past, we've done two shows. So we have a senior show specifically, which is a little bit earlier, and then a little bit later and closer to the end of the school year, we do a full school end of year show. So that's then for us, that's our 10th and 11th graders, and then 9th, 8th, and 7th, 6th. So like all our students for the whole school, we do one big show. But this year we combined the two shows. So it's the senior show and the whole end of the year show. So we have three classes worth of artwork to hang and tag and arrange and plan. And all our seniors are doing these like digital models, with like where we have them, like they've created, digital models of these buildings that they designed. And then they took them into a program called Lumion where they add in all this like other stuff, you know, furniture, and they can change the landscape and make it look more like realistic, a lot more like higher renderings and animations and stuff. And then from there we create like a navigable 3D space, right? And so it's not a full motion 3D, so it's not like an Oculus 3D, but it's a, you put on the 3D goggles and you can look around in the space. And then there's these links that basically are like floating orbs in the space, and if you click on them, it moves you into the next spot, right?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
So you just like kind of moves you forward so you can progress through the space. So all of our seniors have made them, or most of our seniors have made them and still finishing. So we're like getting all that working. So we got this like technological side of it and all the physical side. And then I had a bunch of drawings that were at another show in the city, and I had to pick them up on Tuesday or Wednesday and bring them back and hang them. And very, very busy. And then, my students for ACE Club, which is our after-school club, which is architecture, construction, and engineering. And so ACE Club is where actually, like, I'm the what we call school champion. So I'm basically like the host. And then there's we have five or six mentors that are in the architecture and construction engineering business world. And they come in and work with our students to design a building. And they we just had our end of the year award ceremony. We won for best floor plan, which was really awesome. So, cause we spent a lot of time like figuring out designing the space and knowing like what everything that had to be in there and make sure we fit it all in and, you know, got everything right and really thought a lot about the floor plan of our building. And so we won for best floor plan, which is awesome. So got all pictures of my students being all embarrassed up on stage. It's always fun. So that was this evening. Nice. Yeah, so it's like sailing on Tuesday, sailing on Wednesday, after ACE Club on Thursday, podcast on Thursday.
Sounds like you shouldn't sail twice a week.
That's happy hour like on Friday. No, well, that just doesn't, no, you know.
Sounds like you I sail like being too much. Busy.
Sounds like I don't sail enough. Should be sailing more days a week.
All right, the channel takes every summer off.
9 months.
Yeah, right.
Every, April to October.
We'll give you three videos a year.
Yeah. That's why I need to be stay a teacher, and then I, you know, have those 2 months off in the summer, then I don't have to work during the day.
Yeah.
Pick up sailing twice a day and no work during the day. It's great.
Mm.
Yeah. But no, it was fun. It's good stuff, and my students' work is great, and the show looks awesome. So it's all worth it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. So like all the busy show stuff, that's all art stuff. I love it. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Being there is great. Yeah, it's all the planning.
The hard part is the trying to do that, have enough time to do it, and also still teach 3 classes a day or 4 classes a day. You know, I'm like, I just need to just not teach for 5 days. Give me a week where I could just prepare for the show. Cause it's I don't have enough time to prepare classes and prepare for a show. Like yesterday I got home from work. I picked up Corinne from school and got home, and then we changed and went down to the boat to go sailing. But getting out of the truck after I picked her up and walking into the house, and my feet were so sore, and I realized that I hadn't sat down at all day, got up in the morning and just been on my feet the entire day, from when I got to work, and then the only time I sat down was on that 40 minutes to pick her up and then home. And I got back up, my feet were oh man, whoo, busy day, busy life, but, it's okay. Always hustling, hard work.
Hard work, blessed with hard work.
That's right.
There you go.
I just
Echo. I think Echo said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Thank you, Echo. So yeah, we'll get together next Thursday. It's funny. You were like, could you film tomorrow? This is on Tuesday. I was like, nope, sailing. And I can't do Thursday, can't do Friday, can't do Saturday. Sailing. Sunday I'm coming back. It's not really going to be available till Monday. And then you were like, how about Thursday? I was like, well, I guess the Orioles are in town too. So, but
I think what's Thursday? I think they're off that day. Yeah, I have one day off as well.
Nice.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Because it's supposed to rain a lot, and we have 9 games or 10 games at home.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, what you're saying, maybe they may have to use that day if they get rained out.
Sometimes they shift, if there's an open day, they will put a doubleheader in it. Or, they'll just say, well, this day we're all here, so we're going to put a game there. But we'll see. Maybe we'll get lucky. They'll play through.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take a lot to cancel a game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this one game earlier this season where it was they waited a really long time and then played the game after a 5 hour delay.
5 hour. I'm glad that's one I didn't work that one because of the hospital stay, but.
Yeah, right.
I was I want to be back except for that game. I don't. You guys can have that one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't need to pay for that. I guess you get paid that.
It's hourly, so you get paid. Yeah. But it's still.
Yeah.
No one wants to do that long.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. 5 hours and then you start a game for another 3 hours.
That's brutal.
Last night we had a nice long game. That was fun. All the way to the 12th inning. Whew.
Beat the Natties.
Back and forth. It was crazy. It was up by 2 in the 9th. They tied it up. And then we went. Yeah, then 10th inning, nobody scored. We went up by 2 in the 11th, and they tied it up. And then we went up by 2 in the 12th, and they came back and got 1. Oh, man, what a stressful. Like I said, I was just pacing. And you said, I'm listening to my phone. I'm like, on your phone? What? What is going on?
I think I told you that before, too, and you didn't believe me. You're like, oh, no, they don't do that.
Yeah, because I always think
you go to BAL, and it's on their
website. Yeah, because I think, I would always just do go to 98 Rock, so they play it on 98 Rock, and so I go to 98 Rock, but they don't have the rights for it on 98 Rock. So when you go to during the game, if you're listening on the radio on 98 Rock, it's playing the game, but if you go on the streaming, it's not. They do something else, they push in something else. So I've done that before, but now that's great. I pulled it up.
Yeah.
And I could have gone down in the shop and done it, but I was like, I'd just gotten home from sailing and I was kind of just hanging around and pacing around the kitchen and living room and listening to the game and talking to Nicole a little bit. And,
yeah. No, it was good stuff. Fun stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's definitely a rivalry there. But I also worked for them for 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a ring. So I like the Nats. I got a World Series ring from the Nationals. I have nothing from the O's.
Yeah, right, exactly. you know. That was fun. It was a fun game, but it was stressful because we had lost the first game in the two-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got our no-sweep streak going, so kept the streak alive.
Some games.
Crazy. Yeah, I was like, whew. So yeah, Thursday, like maybe we'll shoot. I was thinking we could shoot the video on the sewing machine, the leather sewing machine, because I've got it like kind of ready to go, but I haven't really figured out how to thread it yet. So I figured we can kind of work through that a little bit. I might work on a little bit before then just to kind of figure out the basics, but then, you know, talk through the threading and whatnot, because there's nothing on that sewing machine. There's no, as far as I can tell, I haven't been able to find anything on how to thread it online, because it's not like a, I don't know what the model is, but the, what it says on it is just Neil's Saddlery, which is not a type of sewing machine. That's a sewing machine distributor, right? So it's not like a model. So I don't know what the model of the sewing machine, I don't know what the company is that made it, you know? So, and I've tried to do some research, but I haven't really been able to find anything. And I can reach out to the company specifically, to Neil's Saddlery, to get like probably the user manual on it.
Yeah, they'd probably send you one if you asked about it.
Yeah.
Companies like that are so small, you know, they don't get that many emails. So you can probably just talk to them. Hey, I got a channel. I've got this. I'm hold of it now, and I really want to do a video on this machine. Do you have any, you have a user guide, anything like that you could?
Yeah. Right. And I'm sure, I went to, like, see if they're on their website. It's like, yeah, give us a call at this number if you want to talk. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I got to actually call somebody, not just send the email. So that's fine, too. You know, so I'll call them. But it's actually probably better, because then I could, like, probably get, you know, a PDF or something. I'm sure they have something they can send. Mm-hmm. And if not, you know, like, send it in the mail. And then, you know, we'll maybe put that into the video, wherever that is. So, but yeah. So, I'll talk to them and see whatever the other supplies they have. Like maybe they have some specific thread or whatever. I can get some advice on what type of stuff to use for that machine and thick leather. And then, you know, so get it up and running and then sew something with it. Like it'd be fun to make a, you know, something like, what are those? Like they do those little leather, like, bedside table, you know, like ashtrays, not an ashtray, but you know, it's like a square with the four corners pinched up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something kind of fun. Like try just a small project like that. Something that someone could do that it could be almost be like a 1 hour build video along with it. Or maybe So something simple or, you know, like a, I'm trying to think what else, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of like little bags.
No, I think that's good. Cause it's something everyone can understand it, what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you mess it up, it's just good content. Like, I want to see you actually really trying for the first time.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm going to try something on this. I've never really successfully, you know, used a leather sewing machine. So this one we're going to try and let's go for it.
Yeah, right. And, you know, like try it on some thick leather and see what we can do. You know, I've got the 7/8 ounce stuff and I have the 3/4 stuff. So, like, we can kind of do a little bit of both, you know, and, like, just be like, all right, this is a different
option. Make me one and make you one.
There you go. Nice. But, yeah, I think that'll be nice. When I put some pictures up on social media about it, there were a lot of people that were like, oh, man, that's crazy. You know, like, because, like, a big industrial sewing machine like that is, there's a lot of people that want those, you know, so finding that that's a really good thing. So we definitely want to use it.
So we'll have that video. Well, the next video will be sheep and wool, which is going to be a long one. So if you guys, like I said, you want to take a nap, you want to have a relaxing Sunday, it might come out Sunday.
Nice.
And it's going to be like 40 minutes long.
Nice. Okay.
A bunch of cool stuff in it. You get to see Dustin's wife, and she talks about everything she gets and kind of talks a little bit in it, so that'll be cool. And then we'll have the sewing video, and then we'll probably, hopefully, Dustin will have another. You can go somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll do another one of those. Or maybe go two places in one day, and we get two videos, and that's over the next couple weeks. And then we'll have another, you know, build something cool. And then next one after that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I still want to make the shepherd's axe. I think that'd be fun. You know, because that's like a fun kind of axe and forging video, you know, axe mod forging video, and kind of a unique thing, you know, the long handled axe, which is cool. yeah, you know, I've got a bunch of kind of ideas for different stuff. So always fun to think about different projects and try to, you know, predict the algorithm. Always a good, good thing to think about. Yeah. What next? How do we keep things going? How do we make things exciting? How do we keep some variety in the channel? I don't think that's really algorithm chasing. That's more just like, well, it's more just like keeping variety and keeping the audience happy. Cause I think we do have like a wide audience. So some people,
yeah, we're just going to keep trying a bunch of different stuff. And I mean, the on location videos won't stop. So
yeah,
I don't really care how many views they get. They're just going to keep coming. Cause we like them.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be cool. It's another half that hasn't been covered, and it will be covered. And I think it'll make the making videos even cooler, because it'll be like you go, right, you find something, and then the next video will be like you hanging that axe and
yeah,
giving tips on how to swing an axe or something, stuff like that.
Right, yeah. And then we can do the pedestal drill press restoration. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know, so you got that from Chris, so that, right, that's a good, right, like, follow-up, yeah, to that, you know? Yeah,
it's cool, and I think us having a good library of events and locations, mm-hmm, that we visited is really cool too.
Yeah,
because that's what I want to see when I want to go visit somewhere. Like, right, I'm looking for YouTube videos of someone kind of like walking around and explaining stuff. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be like a documentary. It's just,
right,
I want to see someone walk around what I'm going. I want to picture it. You, mm-hmm, know, you kind of imagine yourself there and like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's where that is. That's where, yeah, this is. Like, there is no Maker Camp walk around that I know of.
Right. Yeah. Other than our video.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Other than ours, which is kind of like it, but still not.
Yeah.
So if, right, we do, like when we go this year, there will be, I want to make sure we get like an hour long walk around. Or maybe, nice, you walk around for 30 minutes and then we do one at night for 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You have like a day and night, like the day where everyone's really busting their butts and everyone's, mm-hmm, presenting. Maybe Dustin's presenting. So Dustin will do a walk around. I'll do a walk around. And then at night, yeah, people are having debauchery. Fun and there's fires and people are still working and making stuff. But
yeah,
there's, you know, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. Yeah,
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for Maker Camp.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll be doing bow making demos again. So I talked to Austin about that. So on the docket again for that. Corinne will be there with us this year. She really wants to come, so that'll be fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then and Sean's actually going to be demoing as well. He's going to be working in the leather tent doing some like laser etching with Ethan Carter and the other guy, I forget the other leather guy who was there the first time this year. He was doing some like leather, what's it called? Leather engraving and stuff. So Sean was like talking to those two guys quite a bit, and they were looking at his koozie, his leather koozie holder made for, and they really liked that. So he's going to do some leather stuff. Like, I think he's going to get some koozies. He'll have stuff pre-made and then, you know, have the laser. So that way he could like laser stuff onto it or, you know, cut some stuff out is there. And he actually reached out to X Tool and they sent him, kind of the smaller laser, like what we have, but the X Tool version, they sent him that. So that way he can kind of get familiar with it and then take it to Maker Camp and use it. So yeah, so he'll be doing some of that, so it should be fun. And you know, it always, I just saw a post from, I guess, from the Blackthorn, and it was they had a new sign. It was like an old saw blade and like painted on it was like safety glasses on beyond this point or something like that.
Oh, I saw that.
Will and
that
it was like,
will,
yeah,
that be enforced?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's always been there. You know,
has that sign been there?
Yeah, I mean, or at least like the last couple of years, not that sign, but that sign saying like beyond this point, you know, safety glasses are required beyond this point. They had that like up in the blacksmithing tent and in some of the you know, woodworking tents. They're just like there on the outside, so people walk in without them. But yeah, the nice thing is like they have them up, and then if you walk into the tent, they have just boxes of free safety glasses.
Oh, right.
You know, like the cheap, like clear, like just the clear glass ones, or like, you know, with like orange stems or pink stems or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so no, it's good. It's good to have them around. So yeah, that was fun. You know, an old drill press from Jimmy DiResta. It was like clamped onto it with a light above it, like safety glasses on. That was fun, but. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're having the hammer in or the forge in out.
Hammer in, yeah.
Is it the Hamrin with Chris?
Yeah, yeah. Because Chris is like, his is the whatever weekend. I forget what his is called, but this is just their normal Hamrin.
I know. I wish we could have done that.
Yeah. I know. Chris asked us. He was like, I thought you guys were coming up. I was like, Yeah, we're going to. It was right between two other things. Like, it was like the weekend right between two other things that we were doing, too. So I was like, ugh. But no, that'd be great. Yeah, that's the Group Forge. That's what it is. Mm. His weekend's the Group Forge weekend. But yeah, no, that'd be great. We definitely try to. We should just put that on the calendar now for next year, so we know. You know, as soon as we know, just like put it on the calendar so it's there. Because I'd love to go up for that. Because that's such a fun one, you know. And it's like a group of like 20 people, you know. Yeah. So it's like you really get to hang out and get to know some more people more closely and work, you know, closely with those guys. It's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of Maker Camp people. Luke and Priscilla Smith, you know, it is May, so we're at May for Makers currently, which is fun. So, you know, they're always there. We met them at Maker Camp a couple times and then, and then had them on the podcast, obviously, for May for Makers, and hopefully we'll get them on maybe next week or the following week. I'll have to reach out. It's always fun to chat with them. So May for Makers has been fun so far. We're on day 9. I did skip day 8 just because I got home late last night and I forget what the post was. It was something, I don't know, it was one that I was like, wasn't completely sure of what to do right away. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. What was that? Not, that's number 8. Sorry. I have like the pictures of the May for Makers, cause it's not like they don't have this year. It's not one big, month calendar. It's like into a couple of different images, so I have them on my phone. So let's see, yesterday was my new favorite thing to do is, and I just was like, I didn't have a good thing for that. Maybe that's because I don't have a lot of new favorite things. like I don't know, I like my, you know, all the stuff. I like think about it now, like there's something like I could have done, like something with the laser pecker, you know, that's kind of a newer technology for us, or something with
DJI. You could have done something with them doing videos, these types of videos. But right. You know, pick the ones you like, and that's all.
Yeah, right, exactly. So yeah, today was I can't live without my, so I did a little EDC thing with the tools that I always have on me. So that was fun. My watch and my flashlight and my knife and my pencil. So those are always there. So that was fun. And actually I just got the one from 2 years, I got a reminder. It was like on Facebook or something. I was like, oh, 2 years ago you posted this, and it was the EDC May for Makers, where I was like taking stuff out of my pockets. It was like my handkerchief and all the stuff I'm like pulling out, putting it all on the table, and then I like reach behind my back and I pull an axe out and put it down on the table. I'm like, nice. All right, there it is. Yeah, it's fun because I did that, and then there were a bunch of the guys that were doing following on with Make for Makers that were axe guys all like did the same thing. They were like, a bunch of them commented, then I saw them like doing things, they like pull an axe or pull like a chainsaw out from random places, and like I was like, nice.
we should actually think of some of those ideas, those silly viral things,
yeah,
and do just you and me spend a day and shoot 10 shorts you know, of that type of stuff. Not necessarily trend, just like things we think are funny. Because that's stuff that, you know, they end up getting millions of views off of. It's like the thing where you throw something and it becomes something, or you're doing stuff and then you pull the ash from behind your back, or just like come up with 10 things that are silly and fun.
Yeah.
But that we can post for like 10 days in a row.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, and that's like, you know, what Jeff Fader's done with the whole like flipping the whatever or dropping the stuff on the end, all that stuff. Yeah.
Just little camera tricks and little like, yeah. Just come up with some stuff and shoot those and just have a bunch of shorts and what was Chris, he had that video that hit like 8 million views or something. Did you see that?
The one with the vice.
The short of him just messing with that vice, which you messed with, and we didn't get on camera, of course. I was going to post it. It was like,
here's viral. It's funny. Yeah, because he posted about it. He was like, oh, thanks for 4 million views or whatever. I was like, really? Because I saw it like the day he posted it. I was like, oh, that's a super cool vice. And I actually commented on it. I was like, damn, that thing is awesome. You know, like, and then I think I even showed. like whoever I was with when I saw it, I was like, oh, check this. It was like Nicole or Corinne. I was like, oh, look at this cool vice. And then we were there. I told you, I was like, oh, nice. This is that vice that he had in the video.
Right. But that was when we walked around without the camera.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
And then when you walked around the camera, you didn't like comment on it. Or, you know, you were looking at the other stuff. So you just didn't get to it.
And then it was like the day after when I saw him post, or 2 days after, and he was like, thanks for however many million views on this. You know, I was like, dang, if I would have known that, you know, if I would have like paid attention and saw that it was like blowing up, I would have put it on there and be like, hey, this is the, you know, the vice from the whatever, however many million
right,
views.
Right. I know.
The Instagram reel.
Crazy. That's great, though. Good. It's simple stuff like that. So in the simple, clean, interesting, that's what that was. That little video, it's exactly what it was. It was great.
But that's the thing. That's like all of Chris's videos are like that. Yeah, well, not all of them, but a lot of them, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like, who knows? Who knows what's going to hit? That's like Brian House, you know, when he did the ones with like the, like what really made him take off. Like he had like what, 6,000 followers on Instagram. And then he made the one video of the press helping him to fold the sides of the thing for the ribbon burner. Right. And that like press video took off and had millions of views. And then he was doing more press videos and they just all took off. And then now he's got, you know, 90,000 followers on Instagram.
I know, it's awful.
You know, it's like, it's just crazy. Who knows what's going to take off? You know, you just put something up and then the algorithm loves it. It's like the, you know, the blacksmithing videos that I did over the summer. And it's like, just put one up about like making a spatula, you know, out of a,
right, hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah, had 500,000 views on it.
All right, how about this? When we, might as well. Well, depending. we should do it, maybe.
All right, I'm convinced.
Every day we get together to shoot, we should shoot something like that.
Right,
because it will take 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be a full creation thing. Obviously, we can edit that. We can edit plenty of shorts into that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, one of the shorts might, the edited full videos and the shorts might take off. Right. But, like, just come up with something.
Yeah, one of the processes that. Or something.
Like, hey, let's just shoot this thing real quick. Right, and we could even shoot with the DJI to make it look good.
Yeah.
Or just a vertical phone, but...
Right.
Yeah, just to have some more stuff. Yeah, and I've been editing all those shorts and sending them to you, and that's been cool, too.
Yeah, but that would be easy enough to, like, edit quickly on the spot and put up, you know, while we're shooting. You know, because then it can even be like, you know, this is what we're working on in the shop, you know, like, new video in progress, da-da-da. Yeah.
Like, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Right on. Yeah. All right. Well, what was I going to say? Oh, was one other thing I had written down here. Oh, The Last Kingdom. You ever see the show The Last Kingdom?
So Netflix, I think. It's pretty good.
Uhtred of Bebbanburg. It was good. It's a good show. But I actually read the books first, and then I read some of the books, and then I realized it was a show. So I watched the show, which I liked as well. And then I started listening to the books on audiobook again, and I really like the books. I really like story is written. And
is that your recommendation?
No, not quite. But it's I just had it as something I was thinking about. So a little early recommendation. Yeah, if people want to listen to a good book that's like loosely based off of history, based off of the Danish kind of invasion of England England was an actual England. It was all like four different kingdoms. So it was Northumbria and Wessex and East Anglia and Mercia, the four kingdoms of England, which, you know, so it kind of goes through the time of the Danish invasion and taking over and breaking up those kingdoms and how the kingdoms were almost lost completely. And almost all of England was almost gone completely and then brought back. And so, and it follows Uhtred's story, and he's obviously the made-up character, but, you know, it's based off, loosely based off of history. So the guy who wrote it, which is, I can't remember off the top of my head, but Cormac McCarthy, I don't know, somebody,
Cormac,
but he,
McCarthy wrote it?
No, that's On the Road guy.
Yeah.
No, it's, something like that, but he, he's a historian as well as an author, so. It's written well, but I like it because it's written through the perspective of an old man telling the story of his life, right? So he's like going back and talking about like, oh, and you know, I was stupid back then, or I was much, you know, I was too hot-headed, and this is what I did. And I was like, I would regret it. And you know, now if I would have gone back, I could have changed it, but I didn't. And this is what I did. You know, this is kind of fun hearing him talking about himself as a younger man going through this whole journey.
Sorry. Nah, yeah. Can. No, it's cool. A little secret I'll tell to you and the listeners. There's a great song by The Darkness who sing, I believe, in a thing called Love, and those I'm a big fan of them. It's called Barbarian. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the Danes, and one by one the kingdoms fell. Edmund the Martyr cut down by Dane on the order of Ivar the Boneless. Like, mm-hmm. it's a really cool Norsemen swim ashore. The eastern coast belongs to us no more. The heathen's army upon us, once again led by the sons of Ragnar. Right? It's just really like over the top, great rock song. Ivar.
Yeah, yep.
But we play it at Camden Yards because I showed the DJ that album, and he loved Barbarian, like this song. It's a great song, but it's funny. There's this like talking part in the middle, and he talks about, this is how it goes. Reducing the feeble citadels, the ashes and blood stain, enslaving the sweet women folk, whilst every man is slain. Like, it talks about it, and it's like blasting over it, over again. It's great, man. Over the stadium. Nice. Like, no one ever catches this because no one knows what it is, but it's like they're talking about enslaving women and killing men. It's like, no one knows. It plays pretty much every single game pregame.
That's great.
As people are walking around coming into the park, that's what they hear. Barbarian by The Darkness.
Nice. That's one of those like little Easter eggs that's cool. You're like, you know, it's like when I'm trying to think, like, if I go back to Micah and go to the art supply store, there's like, it's at a new location now, but they took a lot of the handmade signage. Cause we would always make signs and make stuff like at the store, all the students who worked there and all the like staff, we'd make signage for the store when there was like something new, you know, it's like new paints. And so we'd make a sign for it. And so there are still signs that I made at the art supply store, you know, at Michael on the campus when I go, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's the sign I made. They brought it over here to the new building, whatever. Like, this is a little Easter eggs. You're like, oh yeah, this is the song that from the album that I recommended to the DJ to play. You know, right. When you hear it, you're like, oh, this music's playing because of me right now.
Right.
That's like fun. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, my actual recommendation, other than The Last Kingdom, I was listening to it on the way home today, and so I thought about it. I was like, oh, it's so good. But my recommendation today is Justin Dietrich and his school account, which is Rail Splitter Woodshop on Instagram. Justin is a woodworker, and he was kind of leading the timber framing projects that we've done over the past couple of years at Maker Camp. I don't think he's leading it this year. I know that Jim,
Tradesman.
Yeah. The Tradesman's Channel. I think he's leading it this year. Cause he led the timber in, they haven't done it yet. He will be leading the timber in, because he's kind of showed what they're going to be doing and stuff. So I'm not sure if Justin's doing it as well with him or not. But Justin's school and their Instagram account is the Rail Splitter Woodshop, and they just constructed, or he just posted about it today. They just constructed his their timber framing project. So his woodworking students, because he's a woodshop teacher, so his woodshop students each year, I think starting in January, they construct and they do all the timber framing for a structure, for, you know, something, like whether it's like for a park or whatever, for a building or something, like they do it. So they just constructed their thing, and they have looks like three bents, and then so it's like similar to what we made the first year at Maker Camp. But it looks great. You know, it looks really good, and it's fun to see the pictures of them all putting it up. And I can completely, like, sympathize with their, like, the excitement, because we've done it. You know, like, we helped to, like, cut the joints and get everything ready, and then we put it all up, you know, and you see it, and it all goes up, like, pretty quick. And, you know, like, all these, like, hours and hours of work to get everything like prepared to go, and then you put it up and it's like a couple hours or like a day or whatever, and you kind of things start coming together and put up, and it's like, oh, it's so like satisfying, you know. It's such a, it's such an accomplishment.
When's,
so
when's the timber in this year?
Timber in's usually the end of, or it's like usually in the middle of July, you know, so like this third or third weekend, sometimes what, second or third weekend of July. So it's usually right around the same time I do, like Georgia weekend. It's like for the past couple of years, it's been that same weekend. So first year, that was the first year we went to Maker Camp, that the July before that I went down and met Justin and, you know, helped out a little bit at the, timber framing. And I think we had him on the podcast before that. Yeah. Before we went down, but, and then I was going to go the following year as well. But the morning of, I like woke up and
you didn't want,
I was
to
just like, yeah, I don't feel like going. Like, I was just going to stay here. So, but, nice. But yeah,
well,
yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to go up and, you know, it's a couple day thing that they do. So it's always kind of fun, but like it was free when I went up the first time, but it's not free anymore. Like, so, about that. That's one of those things. Like,
but it
doesn't
include. It does include, you know, stay.
Right. Yeah.
A room, which is nice, and even if it's like $300, it's like two nights.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. You know, it's $150 a night, even just for the room. And,
Yeah, and like, you know, if you're going up for a day, like if you're in the area and you want to stop by on a Saturday, like, they don't care. They're not going to charge you for that. Like, you can go in and hang out for a couple hours and help them out and leave. Like, that's no big deal. I think it's really just like they want to be able to kind of like, you know, they have all these events that they're hosting there, so like they should make some money off of it, right? You know, it's all going toward the Maker Camp, which they're going to make money off of that too.
But it's all good deals. They've leveled out the pricing to where it's it's nice, especially if you get a room. It's a good little vacay.
And they're not like, they're not making a ton of money off of it because it's always, you know, like 15 or 20 or 30 people. So it's not like they're making bank, but you know, they make some a little bit, and it does, like, you know, they are a business. They need to keep running. And
it's great. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Yep. So check out Rail Splitter Woodshop and see what Justin's students are doing over there. They just put up a really awesome timber frame structure in the last couple of days.
I'll see a couple of the normal channels we suggest. They have some good videos. Hang on.
Cough break. Coffee break. You try to come back.
Yeah, I'm trying. I just battling the cough. There you go. Meat Eaters got a new episode, their first episode of the season, so like look out for their like seventh season, but they're just putting it out on YouTube, so nice. The first one's actually with Joe Rogan. They're hunting mule deer, which is really good. The Wormwood channel, they make those tables, those gaming tables. They have a cool video. It's called Edible Dice, but it's...
Devin is getting over sickness, so that's why he's muting while he's coughing.
Sorry.
Edible Dice.
Edible Dice, that's what it's called, but it's just that Wormwood channel. But they just got in all their dice colors. Oh, now he's at it. Can you believe this? No, but they made up a bunch of resin dye that they're now selling. But they picked a bunch of crazy colors, and they're receiving them all and like picking their favorites. It's a good channel. It's funny stuff. Nice. And then Tested. Adam goes to ILM, you know, where they make Star Wars, and he's like looking at a model of a shuttle for that show, Ahsoka. Like the model that they use. It's just like a 20-minute video of him like talking to the guys about how they made this model that they actually used in the show. So
nice,
always good. That's stuff. Awesome. So sweet. There you go. There's some stuff. Oh. And which I'm going to repeat myself, Clarkson's Farm is awesome. They put all the episodes out.
Okay.
So there's 8 episodes now. And
that's season 3?
Season 3. It's really, it's great. It's my favorite reality show I've seen in a long time. It's really good and really great and fun and nice.
Yeah, so I started watching the first season since last week, and I think I'm on like episode 4 or 5 now. I think the episode I just watched was the COVID pandemic episode.
Well, when it's like, oh yeah, what little did we know?
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but it's fun. It was good. Like, there's this the one scene I think in the sheeping episode where he has to take the three sheep, you know, the females that aren't pregnant, who didn't get, or no, they have like udders that are bad or whatever, so they can't get pregnant.
He's got to take them in to get slaughtered.
Yeah, he's got to take them in to get slaughtered, and he brings them in, and they put him in the pen, and then he's talking to the guy in another room or another building, and he comes back out a few minutes later to be like, all right, let me say one more goodbye to these sheep that I've been like living with, you know, and they're already gone. The guy's like, oh no, they're gone. He's
right.
Like, they're already dead. And he's like, wait, what do you mean they're already dead? Like, he's like, yeah, they're probably already gone. Like, they've already taken them back and they slaughtered them. He's like, really? Like, yeah. And then he's like, you see it like chokes him up. And he just like gets quiet, and he's got this like the face, and it's like he's right on the verge of tears, and he just like turns around and walks away. And you see like it's interesting because the camera pans and follows him, and you can tell it's not like scripted because they see all the rest of the crew. The camera crew is like in the shot as he pans through it. You know, he just like walked right through. And you could tell it's like, and then the next shot is him like the next day, you know, it's like, dang, it really choked him up. You know, it's like kind of cool. It's cool to see that it is real.
It's really good. And it definitely, I mean, it still has some of like the Top Gear-esque things where, you know, it's like, oh, they're setting something up. He's got a goofy machine.
Right.
He's going to try something like, funny, and it's going to like,
I bought the Lamborghini.
Right. But then, I mean, farming has so much, and animals have so much, funny stuff and dramatic stuff in them naturally, that the show is at its best, in my opinion, when it's just that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Because when he loses animals or something happens or they get out or he hurts himself trying to actually farm, it's like, you know, it's the real stuff. It's really good. And in season 3, he's got pigs and stuff, and they're still dealing with like, there's a bunch of stuff. It's just a really, really great show. The whole thing, it's like, you know, it's like well shot and really nice, and it's a beautiful, I mean, his farm is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gives you a good perspective into what it takes to farm and how tough it is to make any money, and it just gives you a little bit more love for farmers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, like how what was he saying something about, he was talking about, I guess maybe it was something for the pandemic or whatnot. He was saying how they had just, like, there was all this stuff about, like, you know, let's take back all the farms. Let's send farming overseas. You know, let's make these extra land and stuff. Like, let's use it for other things. And then it was like, then the pandemic hit and it was like, rely on the farmers. We need stuff made here. He's like, oh, he's like, now they've changed their tones. Like, it's funny.
But I think you know, the young guy who helps him out.
Yeah,
He's Jared he just met the Prime Minister.
Oh, dang, nice. I think they covered
him in season 3.
That's awesome.
Because they have become like, because it's one of their biggest shows now. It's one of Amazon's biggest shows.
Yeah, so it's wild. Like,
they're all of a sudden, they've become these farmer advocates.
Yeah, and right.
I think the funny thing, this goofy show is going to like, it's going to help farmers all around the world, definitely in England. To like let them farm. Don't restrict them. Don't overly, you know, everything is a million rules and red tape, and they're already barely squeaking out a living, and you're gonna regulate them into the ground.
Right. Yeah. And and that's like, and they, you know, they talk about that. You know, it's like, wait, what do you mean I can't do this? So like, yeah, you can't do that. Like, why not? Right. Well, it's because you can't. Because that's like, that's regulations.
This is that. You need this to check that. And you need these people to come. And you can't, this type of squirrel might, you know, you can't chop down your own trees. That's a very, I mean, England takes it to the nth degree. Luckily, we don't have, I mean, we got still stuff like that, but they really are all over it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, wait, you can drive across England and like, 2 hours, you know, so it's like, it's just a small island. It's just
not that much land, so.
Yeah, right.
And it all has such significance. There's actually, it's not really a spoiler, in the season I'm watching now, episode 5, he's working on selling mushrooms.
Oh, nice.
and they make a mushroom breeding underground thing in an old air raid shelter that was an American, like one of its fields was an American bomber airfield. So he uses like an old air shelter that was built to grow mushrooms in.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
It's great. It's just a great show. I'm a big fan.
Nice. Right on.
So yeah, that's it. All that stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I love his like outlook on what he's doing, you know, because he's like, I'm not one of those weird hairy armpit hippies, you know. He's like, but I do love this yeah. stuff, you know. I do love this farming that I'm doing. It's like, it's funny, you know. He's like, yeah, I want a car that like guzzles gasoline and I go super fast in it, you know. He's like, I love that yeah. stuff, but I also love, you know, like a wild patch that like the bugs come back and live, you know, like. Right. That's fun.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice. Yeah. So right on. That's a good one. And I'm glad, like, I know you recommended it multiple times and I was like, I started watching it the other night with Nicole and we were both enjoying it and laughing and stuff. So sweet. All right, cool. Well, yeah, guys, make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube and check out the different, the videos we've been putting up. So we have a couple, we have the one from Chris Cash that just went up, and then, you know, searching around his stuff, getting some cool tools. And then also we'll have the Sheep and Wool coming out as well. And I just posted today on our community channel area, the community page, the winners for the Viking Challenge. So those came out. So congratulations mm-hmm. to all the winners. So we had, third place, I forget what it is off the top of my head. I know that second place was Blackbeard Projects and first place was Tyrell Knifeworks. So congratulations to those two guys. Like, they definitely put a lot of work into it. And, you know, for what we do on like our channel and for what everyone does, like those guys do put a lot of work into doing some really cool stuff. So, yeah. You know, they definitely deserve to win as much as anybody else does. So, I think fourth place was the other axe guy, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, and I apologize. But there were only two of us that did axes, and he did one that was really cool. He forged it and had some like a cutout and like a cross and stuff, which is very like traditional Viking axe style. So he did. So I was glad that he got a lot of votes on his. It was really cool. But everybody who did really well, I know the winner of the champions, I think second place was Old Hickory Forge, so John Norwood. So he came in second, and that's out of nice. the top five winners of the last challenge. And then in first place was Heavy Forge, which is the guy up in Alaska who does some really awesome stuff. And so he said that was his first sword. He does like cool woots steel. So like traditional Damascus woots, like making your own steel. And he's actually worked with Laren Thomas from Knife Steel Nerds on some stuff in a video that he put out. So he was very humble and very excited to win that challenge. So congratulations to all the winners. I think we ended up being second to last. So, you know, gotta love the voters. But I do, it's funny, a buddy of mine and his wife, they were like, they said they were watching and they're like, oh, we'll go to the voting forum. And at the top of the voting forum, you know, it's the stuff that's like, oh, thanks for coming. You know, make sure you watch all the videos before you vote and blah, blah. And they were like, nah, they just like voted for us. I was like, all right, that's fine. But yeah. So again, it's always fun to do. And it's like, you know, depending on the challenge, there's an obvious, we have, you know, it leans toward who's going to win, right? It's the person who can kind of make the flashiest and has the most like tools to make the coolest looking thing. And that's fine. Like, those people put in a lot of work to do those things. So they're definitely yeah. competing. And there were enough like competitors who did some really good stuff this time around that, like, you know, it wasn't just a popularity contest, you know, because I think,
oh no. Yeah. I don't think it really is yeah. most times. It just, yeah. I mean, Damascus usually wins. It's just for a photo, just if you're looking down the photos, it looks the craziest and it takes a lot. Oh, of work, yeah. So
yeah, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I'm not like, you know, like Dennis won again, but that's fine. Like, Dennis put some like damn good work into making some really cool looking stuff. So, you know, he definitely deserves it. That being said, the next challenge is the Apocalyptic Challenge, which I think is awesome. So that's going to be super fun because I think everyone's going to be like, you know, it kind of levels the playing field because it's not about Damascus. It's about like making a cool ass, like, you know, tough looking tool or weapon out of found things, right? So it's all kind of like, right. I think those, like, there will be some guidelines like that, but I think it's majority of it's like, you know, found things or, you know, reclaimed materials and things and putting something together like you would find in, you know, in like, what's it called? Mad Max, you know, like some crazy, like post-apocalyptic, movie. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And I think everyone, like, then it just comes down to creativity. Like, who can just be the most creative and the most like wicked looking, you know, and that's right. fun. So that'll be a cool video. I'm excited about that one.
We all have some ideas. So I think it's going to be a wild one.
Yeah. And you know, like the way the kind of the challengers go now, it's usually like the top 10 automatically get like moved over to the next round if they want, you know, they have the option to, and then the bottom 10 or whatever, the bottom people below 10, like they will, they'll try to find other channels to bring in and offer them a chance to like participate as well. But you know, like we started out with, I think 10 channels, and then we went up to like 20 channels, and now we're down to like 15. So I think there's enough people who like in the group that like, I think we as a group of the YouTube like Knife Maker Challenge group is happy to bring more people in. So I don't know if there's going to be like a bigger group that does it or if it's just a small group, but I think also being an OG going from the beginning, we could probably, you know, as long as we should be like, hey, we want to participate, I think we're all good to go. So I think that'd be fun. Cool.
Yeah, man.
All right, guys. So again, yeah, check out the videos we have on YouTube and look for new stuff. We have new things coming out and some fun videos of us walking around, more vlog style. And if you want to follow along with May for Makers, head over to Instagram and you can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship and Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. I will be posting almost every day. I'll try to post every day as long as I have like an idea, and most of the time I do. So that's my goal, is to post every day for May for Makers and try to follow along, and also just check out like new people by just following the May for Makers post. Or if you don't necessarily want to follow it, just search May for Makers 24 and look at the tags, and you can just go through and look at other people. I think that's just kind of fun because, you know, I've seen people that are posting all around the country that, you know, I've never heard of before, which is just great. Yeah. So it's fun to see new people posting things. So yeah, that's all. And then, yeah, if you want to support us here for the podcast and on the YouTube channel together, we just have one Patreon page, and that's The Art of Craftsmanship, or patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship. And you can head over there and you can support us and help us buy new cool ass gear for the channel, which is what we did. So yeah, and thank you so much to all of our patrons over there, Justin Miller and everybody else who's over there. I just mentioned Justin Miller because I talked about him earlier with the Vice, but we have a couple of patrons over there that have been with us for a while, and we really appreciate it. So thank you to everybody who's over there who's supporting us and letting us still make cool stuff and buy cool stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. That's it for now. Thank you guys so much for listening. Devin, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Everybody else, we will talk to you next time.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.